The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. I feel it important to first acknowledge the death of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI that happened 9:30 in the morning Rome time. It's a fairly recent death, and I'm not sure where to start and where to begin with my comments about him, other than not only was he the shepherd of the universal church, called by Christ to be his vicar on earth, the successor of St. Peter, and faithfully lived his mission. And he had the humility, of course, to do something very few of his predecessors were able to do, to abdicate the chair and give the authority to a man who is capable with his energy and zeal. And that's who we have as Pope Francis. When Pope Benedict XVI was elected back in 2005, one of the cardinals made a comment about him. It said that he had the intellect of 10 theologians, but had the piety of a child on his first Holy Communion. What a beautiful thing to say about such a brilliant man. He loved the Lord with his whole heart and served him with his whole life. For me, there's, I guess, a couple different pieces of significance. Number one, in seminary, I presume it was close to 10 or 11 different courses we took that used a book by Pope Benedict as its textbook. That's how brilliant he was in so many realms of theology. So I've learned so much from him and his writing and his theology. But secondly, his pontificate in some ways marks the passage of time in my own life. And this dates me certainly, but he was elected during my senior year of high school, and then he abdicated and left the chair of Peter the year I was ordained. So it's easy for me to remember those dates. And that's something we all do. We try to mark the passage of time in our various ways. So before I continue with my thoughts this evening on this feast day, please join me in praying in Our Father, Hail Mary, and glory be for the repose of the soul of Pope Benedict XVI. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We commend his soul to God. As I said, that his life and ministry kind of corresponded with key moments in the passage of my life, and acknowledging that today is typically a day we do ponder the passage of time. We have all sorts of phrases we use about time and our experience of it. Sometimes we say that time is flying by because either we're really busy or because we're having a lot of fun. Sometimes it feels like time is dragging on, either because we're busy or we're experiencing some sort of pain or suffering. There are times where I feel like time is a gift. I know in the present moment, this truly is a gift from the Lord. And yet at other times, I feel like time is a constraint. I wish something could last forever because it's so beautiful or so sweet. And I think those moments especially point to the fact that we're made for eternity. We're made for an experience of God that does not have an end. I know that all of those terms are helpful for us in our subjective experience of time. It's just a matter of our consciousness of the passage of time. But ultimately, there's an objective reality of time as it passes by. But you remember that God stands outside of time. And this kind of blows our minds that he made time. And so he sees all as an eternal present. And yet he gives each moment of time its meaning and its purpose and its direction. And this is what we call his divine providence. And it's fascinating that we see in the second reading in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians that God, in the fullness of time, seeing that all of human history and all of time was pointing to a central moment, a central act. And of course, it's the moment, the time, that God took on human flesh. We know that God made time. He stands outside of time. But in this Christmas season, we recognize God entered into time so that he might sanctify all time and reorder all of it to himself. Of course, the vessel he chose to enter into time was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that's who we celebrate this weekend, typically a holy day of obligation, but God in his mercy places it on a Sunday this year, two for one. But we celebrate her at the beginning of each year under the title of Mary, Mother of God. This title has, first of all, theological significance. Mother of God refers to her being the bearer of Christ, who is God. In the 5th century, there was a heresy that tried to claim that it was a special human that maybe was adopted by God as his son later on. So the title Mother of God actually preserves the identity of Jesus as true God and true man. Mary didn't just give birth to his human nature, because no woman just gives birth to a nature. She gave birth to a person, a divine person, and that's Jesus. So that title safeguards the identity of Jesus. But it's beyond theological, of course. The title of mother gives us her mission and her role, the mother of Jesus. On the practical level, not only was she like an incubator for Jesus or a container, she truly was his mother. She gave birth to him, she nursed him, she fed him, and she taught him, and she raised him along with her husband Joseph. She, along with Joseph, would have taught him Aramaic, which they would have spoken of in the home. They would have taught him Hebrew, which he would have used to say his prayers. They would have taught him to speak to his Father and center his life on doing the will of the Father. He got to see it modeled in Mary's life, because after all, when she was a mere teenager, she had said yes to the Lord's will in her life, such that Jesus, when he was 12, was found in the temple doing his Father's business. He had already reordered his entire existence to the Father. So it's even beyond biological. We know that Mary spiritually nourished our Lord when he was a young man, but ultimately she's the mother of us all. We know that after Christ was raised by her and he began his public ministry, she was by his side through it all. And of course, she was by his side on the cross. The theologians and spiritual authors say that, yes, there was a first annunciation when the angel Gabriel came to her and announced that she would be the mother of Jesus. But they talk about the cross as her second annunciation. The second annunciation where Mary was told she would be the mother of the church, because Jesus looked to her, pointed to John, and John pointing to Mary saying, "Behold your mother." So I suppose that's our reflection this evening as we commence a new year, a new markation of the passage of time. We look to Our Lady as a model intercessor for our new year coming forward. We know every moment of Mary's life, but we can presume that she spent a significant amount of time looking upon the face of her son, pondering this child who God had given her, the Savior of the world. And as the gospel said, she often pondered these mysteries in her heart. May that be true for us in this coming year, that we give God significant time to gaze upon the face of Christ each day, to ponder the mystery in our heart, to let that mystery settle in our hearts and souls so that we might center our whole life on God. The goal of 2023 should not merely be, I hope I give God a little bit more of my time. The goal should say, I want to give God 2023. It all belongs to Him. He created it, and He's given it to me as a gift. No longer can I be selfish with my time. No longer can I say, I'll give God what belongs to Him, and I'll take the rest for myself. No longer can I spend hours upon hours wasting my time. Just as God gave Mary a mission and overshadowed her with the Holy Spirit to make her life fruitful, the Lord wishes to overshadow your life with the Holy Spirit, make your life fruitful. He is giving you a mission, and that mission takes place in time. We consecrate this coming year to our Lord through the intercession of Our Lady, who had this singular role in a certain moment of time that has changed the course of history. May we, in this coming year, give all of our time to the Lord.